In a letter to his daughter Mary, written from Ireland during his first public reading tour there in 1858, Charles Dickens described the force of the Dublin crowd entering the theater as so great that I had difficulty getting in. They'd broken all the glass in the pay boxes. It turns out that shortly after visiting Ireland during that tour, Dickens set to work to write his novel, A Tale of Two Cities. And Deborah Wynne makes the case that Dickens' experiences in Dublin and Belfast likely influenced that celebrated novel that's known for its complex structure and intertwining historical and family history. For our purposes, we remember a time some years ago when a determined theater group in Scranton set about staging A Tale of Two Cities at its small, intimate play space, a feat which many would have called impossible or near impossible, but they did it, and it was complete with the storming of the Bastille. Now, we're getting closer to the overall thrust of this prologue, and that has to do with A Tale of Two Cities, in this case, Scranton and Dublin, and to what might seem like an impossible feat, like that of Actors Circle all those years ago. There is a group of theater veterans determined to do what many claim to be impossible, and that is the staging of a different monumental novel, and that is Ulysses by James Joyce. Ulysses takes place on a single day in Dublin, and we learn Joyce once told a friend, "I always write about Dublin, because if I can get to the heart of Dublin, I can get to the heart of all the cities in the world." Ah, perfect. And now, we are almost there in setting the stage for the world premiere of Ulysses of Scranton, described by playwright Connor Kelly O'Brien in this way. Ulysses of Scranton is a loose, loving adaptation of James Joyce's Ulysses, creatively reimagined through the distinct lens of Northeast Pennsylvania. This original theatrical production takes the core narrative of Joyce's epic and infuses it with local voices, humor, and lived experience. At its center is a group of actors attempting to stage the impossible novel, only to find that as they dive deeper into the text, fiction and reality begin to blur. Characters morph, timelines collapse, and the stage becomes a liminal space where Scranton meets Dublin in surprising and poignant ways. Ulysses of Scranton at the Ritz Theater, only one of many original productions that make up the 2025 Scranton Fringe Festival. We had a chance to speak by phone with Connor Kelly O'Brien, who is co-founder and executive director of Scranton Fringe, about the festival and this year's offerings.
Fringe festivals began in 1947. They have a really rich history and background to them. In Scotland, Edinburgh specifically, post-World War II, the United Kingdom was sort of trying to reunite itself culturally with the European continent and the rest of the world. Because London was still recovering from the bombing and the raids of World War II, Edinburgh, Scotland was chosen as a location of an international festival of music and drama. Theater, symphony, ballet, Shakespeare, eight companies who couldn't get into the festival because whether they were not well known enough or too avant-garde or just didn't have enough of a following, independent of each other, decided, hey, we know what hotels will be packed, we know what theaters will be packed, restaurants, we're going to do our own thing and make it work. And then a year later, a journalist and a playwright, Robert Kemp is his name, coined the term fringe. He said something along the lines of, there was a lot of independent work happening around the fringe of the international festival. Time moves on. This movement grows and grows and grows. And now flash forward to today, it is the largest annual event in the world of any kind, period. It sells millions of tickets. It's the month of August throughout Edinburgh. There's 4,000 some shows, millions of tickets. I've been fortunate enough to attend As a performer, as a producer, and as a delegate on behalf of Scranton Fringe, the movement catches on, of course, as things do. There's now over 200 Fringe festivals worldwide, and Scranton gained its own 11 years ago. This is our 11th festival. We started in 2015, and then 2025, Scranton Fringe Festival is coming up September 25th through October 5th.
I don't think anybody knows probably how involved it is to mount a specific fringe festival in a place, say, like Scranton, right? Because there's so many events and you have to juggle everything. You are all so ordered and there's not chaos reigning. But what is so wonderful about it is that the spirit of what you build the framework for is such a spontaneous, creative mix of different performers and performances. That's not an easy balance to strike. And you've been doing it year after year.
Yes. I mean, it's a huge team effort. It takes a lot of work. I mean, we are a year-round organization. We do work not just during the festival, but we present productions and programs and workshops, and we've grown our year-round programming year after year. It does take a lot of planning. It's almost 200 individual performances this year, or seatings, in, I think, something like 14, 15 different venues. Then there's also pop-ups that occur that we help facilitate. We, as the festival, for the most part, we curate all the venues from an open application. We really try to ensure a wide, diverse range of content. The artists range from amateur to professional or something in between. The content ranges from family-friendly at the Children's Library to something a bit more for the adults or the older folks in the room at one of our many different cultural venues like the Ritz Theater or AFA Gallery or the Shake Space in the Marketplace at Steamtown, that's the home of the Scranton Shakespeare Festival, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and there really, truly is something for everyone. Magic, hypnosis, comedy, improv, dance, theater, ranging from adaptations of classics to new, more interesting and experimental works. There's really something for everyone. Part of the festival's mission is to keep it accessible and affordable, both for the audience member and the artist producing their own work on our stages. And we're just really, really excited to kick off year 11.
And the other thing we would observe, Connor, is that it's a mix of people from our area. You're very keen on supporting local, regional artists, but also sometimes in the mix, there are others who do the fringe circuit in a sense.
Yes, we love our Northeast Pennsylvania artists from the region. They definitely make up the, shall we say, cornerstone of our programming. But we also welcome artists from New York and the Philadelphia area, New Jersey, and as far as Florida, I think in the U.S. this year, there might be California. We haven't done the math in a few years, but as of a few years ago, we were nearing around 30, 32 states represented at some point. We're probably honing in pretty close to all 50. We've had artists from international, we have international artists that come and support us. We've also now started developing international cultural exchanges that will begin this fall and actually carry out until this coming spring, or next spring rather, with a special engagement from the folks in Ireland. Again, we really try to hone in on local talent as much as possible, but we always felt strongly that part of that service to local artists and local audiences is that cross-pollination and exposing them and also promoting the greater Scranton area as a viable creative marketplace. A lot of artists come here and discover it. They love the, you know, the cities that we have, our modest cities like Scranton and Wilkes-Barre or Pittston. They love the towns. They love that there's rural countryside nearby compared to larger metropolitan regions where it's much more affordable. As long as they can tap into our audiences properly, they find them supportive, they've developed their own partnerships, their own professional paid residencies or engagements, they've made friends. So it's the festival really serves a multitude of needs.
And in order to secure grants or whatever you might need, you would probably be doing some number crunching. So you'd say, last year we probably saw so-and-so number of patrons.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. And then it has to have an economic impact on the region as well.
Yes. Our festival generates at minimum about $250,000 to $400,000 a year. And that's just during the festival. And we've measured that through a partnership with the Business Honors Program at the University of Scranton. So we have the data and people far smarter than me and some people on my team to crunch those numbers. But that data represents hotels, restaurants, coffee shops, of course, the venues themselves. We, of course, track all our attendance and ticket sales, both for our ticketed events and our free events. 2019, our fifth year festival we had right before the pandemic, of course, shut everything down, was our largest to date. We had approximately 10,000 unique individuals attend at least one or more events and programs throughout the two-week festival. We are steadily seeing an increase every single year since 2020, 2021. We're not quite back to the pre-COVID levels, but we're getting very, very close.
You mentioned Ireland, and there is a very special project. In addition to making sure that you're coordinating everything for Scranton Fringe 2025, you have been at the heart of a project that is dealing with that monumental literary work, Ulysses by James Joyce. Tell us about that fascinating concept.
Yeah, I wrote and am currently directing. We're well into the throes of rehearsal. We have been for over a month. Ulysses of Scranton, it's a love letter to Ulysses by James Joyce, as much as it is a love letter to theater and Northeast Pennsylvania's theater scene itself. We have a fabulous cast and crew. We developed a partnership with the Ballina Arts Center in County Mayo, Ireland. Ballina is the sister city of Scranton in Ireland. So we're going to be doing Ulysses of Scranton at the Ritz Theater as part of the festival here in Scranton, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And then in just a few short weeks, we head overseas to Ireland to perform it at the end of October. And then a group of musicians from County Mayo, Ireland, will be sent here by the Ballina Arts Center in late March of next year. We'll be releasing those details closer to the holiday season this year. But we're just so excited to develop this cultural exchange. There is such a rich history, and not just history, but current culture and cross-communication between our two communities, you know, separated by an ocean, but very much in touch with each other. So being able to do this loving, quirky, very condensed version of Ulysses by James Joyce, one of Ireland's most celebrated writers, to bring it not only to our local audiences, to have the opportunity to bring it overseas is really an incredible opportunity.
You talked with us not too long ago when you were beginning to get the actors ready to do some read-throughs and all of that, and I guess you had already done it by the time we talked, and without spoiling it, because I think that's part of the delight of this premiere, you gave us a sense of how you approached at all trying to do the impossible. It's been said it's impossible to do a film or a stage play based on Ulysses.
It's been a very interesting challenge. I started mapping this out, dreaming this production up loosely a few years ago when the 100th anniversary of the publication was upon us. I believe that was in, they would have started talking about it in 21 and it happened in 22, I believe, or 1922 rather, and so therefore 100 years later. Something about the idea that it was impossible, and I had a very loose memory of it, reading it a few years prior and barely understanding it and not really even finishing it. So diving into that and just giving myself time to let it sit with me and understand not just the story he was telling, which in and of itself is a pretty simple sort of slice of life in these two primary characters' lives in Dublin in 1904, but his themes and his metaphors and his humor and the style that he wrote every single chapter in a different way or with a different objective was really funny and interesting. And once I kind of accepted, I cannot possibly do even half of this novel in a full adaptation, the freedom of, well, then I can't do it wrong. I might not do it to everyone's cup of tea, but that sort of freedom and that sort of narrative of how do you adapt to the, how do you adapt the impossible novel? And then, of course, by extension, it sort of became a message of how do you adapt to the impossible, which unfortunately seems to be a theme in our everyday lives, whether it's political division and unrest, social inequality, the change in our environment, the change to our communities, good or bad. Of course, it sort of became this breathing, living, you know, example of how do you adapt to the impossible in your everyday life, with things big and small. And I have a wonderful crew of actors, Connor McGuigan, Colin Holmes, Kimmy Leff, Mandy Pennington, and Simone Daniel. My crew is fantastic. All of our supporters have been so wonderful, and everyone at the festival giving me a little bit of extra breathing room so I could both fulfill my responsibilities coordinating the entire festival, but also to focus on this. It came with some unexpected, unfortunate challenges this year due to various factors, but we're really excited. And we want people to come see the entire festival, go see lots of shows. You know, I'm going to put on my biased hat for a minute and say, I hope that Ulysses S. Granton can be one of them.
That's a wonderful opening to ask you, if you have so many performances that are on offer, how do people get a handle on what's out there and when?
The best way is always just go to our website. We have a brand new, really wonderful interactive website, scrantonfringe.org. You can download a copy of the digital guide. You can scroll through the digital guide. You can search all the events, whether by date or by subject genre or by venue, if you know there's certain venues you want to hit up. So we make it as interactive as possible. Making choice and having choice is kind of a big point of a Fringe Festival. So I always tell people up front, you cannot see everything. So just accept that to begin with. But, you know, whether you pick up a printed copy of the guide or you just work through the resources I mentioned on our website, plan out your adventure. I also tell people, if you think you have some downtime or you're not really sure, roll the dice on something that sounds a little interesting or sounds like something you've never seen before and give it a try. You might love it. And if it's not 100% your cup of tea, you had a unique experience, you supported an artist, and I'm sure you have time to go see other shows, because most productions, with the exception of some of our bigger works like Ulysses, are only an hour or so. So you can fit in a lot in one day. Another thing I often advise people is if you go to our kickoff party at Marywood on Thursday, September 25th, or you come to, let's say, the launch night of Ulysses S. Granton, which will kind of also serve as an unofficial week two kickoff, you get to mix and mingle with lots of the different artists and shows. They'll be individually flyering or handing out postcards and promoting. We tell people often that sometimes the best way to promote your show is that face-to-face engagement. We promote the entire festival, but every show is still responsible for tapping into that audience we've developed and sort of, you know, barking and rallying them to come see their show. So regardless of how you engage with us on social media, through our website, pick up a paper copy of the guide. There's already thousands being distributed throughout the area, predominantly in Scranton, but also in Wilkes-Barre, Pittston, Clark Summit, et cetera. There's lots of ways to engage and start making your Fringe Festival planning.
And will there be that remarkable light show that we experienced?
Thursday, September 25th, and Friday, September 26th, 7:45 and 8:30 p.m. at the Marywood Rotunda on Marywood's campus in Scranton. You can see a 3D projection mapping art installation. 3D projection mapping takes every detail, nook and cranny of the exterior of a building and creates a digital light show projected right onto it. The building becomes a living digital canvas. We did a different installation last year at the Everhart Museum, and it was so successful. And we're thrilled to be bringing back a brand new, totally different installation, this time to Marywood University. This is free and open to the public. Thursday also is our launch party, so you get to see preview performances that night. On Thursday, there'll be food and drink for sale, some art vendors. It's going to be a really fun time. That's Thursday the 25th from 6 to 9, the 3D projection specifically at 7:45 and 8:30. And then Friday, we'll just have the encore of the light show, again, 7:45 and 8:30. And it's a really unique experience.
Connor Kelly O'Brien, who is co-founder and executive director of the Scranton Fringe Festival, speaking with us about the Festival 2025 getting underway in Scranton on September 25th, so 2 days from now, and running through October 5th. There will be many venues and many different kinds of events. And as you heard, the launch party is free and open to the public, and there will be encore performances of the 3D light show on the 26th, that's Friday evening at 7:45 and at 8:30 p.m. at Marywood University. And very special, it's the world premiere of Ulysses of Scranton at the Ritz Theater. And for all the details about everything you need, scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org, September 25th through October 5th, the annual arts celebration transforming Scranton into a creative hub. with live theater, visual arts displays, music, comedy, film, and more. There will be artists from all disciplines from our area and coming into the area from across the seas, in fact. And you can be part of it at scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org.